Mr. Zack. Mr. Zack sat in his house counting his money. 1 rand, 2 rands, 3 rands, 4 rands, 50 rands, 60 rand. He rubbed his hands together. Today has been a good day, he thought, as he put all the money away safely in a hole he had made under the mat in his bedroom. He glanced around as he carefully put the mat back in place. Good. No one's around, he sighed. Now I must get to bed. I have a lot of work to do tomorrow. Mr. Zack is a tax collector. Each day he sits in his booth in the town square and takes money that people owe to the government in tax. It's quite a lonely job. Nobody likes him very much. The taxes are so high and the government are so bad. Those Romans, they came and invaded their country and demanded money in tax to make them richer and the people poorer. Anyone working for the government was the enemy, a baddie. But Mr. Zack is even worse than that. He's especially bad. He is also a cheat. If someone owes 10 rands in tax, he demands 20 rands from them. 10 for the government, 10 for himself. Mr. Zack doesn't care that people are poor. Mr. Zack doesn't care that no one likes him. All Mr. Zack cares about is getting rich himself. He spends all day cheating people out of their money, counts all his money every night, hides it in the hole he's made so that no one will find it, and then he goes to bed, gets up, and does the same thing the next day. But tomorrow is different. Mr. Zack wants to be up extra early so he can get some tax collecting done before Jesus comes to town. He wants to see this man that everyone's talking about. He's heard that he healed people who were blind. Just like that, this man Jesus spoke and they could see. He heard that Jesus even brought a girl back from the dead. He's heard that Jesus claims to be God's son. Some are saying he is the Messiah that the Jewish people have been waiting for. Mr. Zack is curious, wondering what he looks like, what he'll do when he comes to his town, Jericho. So Mr. Zack gets out of bed early and gets to his money booth early. Everyone else in town has the same idea. They all want to see this man Jesus, so everyone is in the town square, getting their shopping done early, getting business done early, so they can take time later in the day to see Jesus. Mr. Zack is pleased. Wherever there are people, he can collect tax. He spots the blacksmith and yells to him, "Hey, it's tax day for you. Pay up or I'll double what you owe." He sees a poor widow. "Hey, it's tax day for you. Pay up or I'll throw your children in jail until you do." Mr. Zack collects money all morning and then sees the town square getting empty. People are starting to go to see Jesus. Can you imagine if a famous person came to visit your town or village? Say President Obama was coming. What would happen? Well, people would line the streets to see if they could get a glimpse of him, or even of his presidential car as it passed by. Well, Jesus coming to town was exactly the same. If Mr. Zack didn't hurry, he might miss Jesus. So he packed up his money, rushed home, hid it under the mat in his house where he knew it would be safe, and he rushed to the road where he knew Jesus would be. But there was a problem. Mr. Zack was short. And because people had got there before him, he couldn't see over them to the road where Jesus would be passing by. Mr. Zack thought for a moment. What could he do? I wonder what you would do. I know, he said to himself, I'll go further up the road where there are fewer people. So he hurried further along the road. He tried to hurry, but still looked quite important, as a tax collector should. But no matter how far he went, there were still people there before him. He ended up running, something that a tax collector should never have to do. Eventually, Mr. Zack realized that this wasn't going to work. He'd have to think of something else. He stopped and caught his breath. What could he do so that he'd be able to see Jesus? What would you do? Perhaps you would say, excuse me, to the people in front of you and ask if you could go in front of them. After all, children are smaller than adults, so they could still see over you. Mr. Zach was short, so that might work. But no, Mr. Zach couldn't do that. If he said, excuse me, can I get through, people would just ignore him or laugh at him or shove him back again. Nobody liked him, so they weren't going to let him through. He thought some more. And then an idea came to mind. Mr. Zach walked along the road behind the crowd until he came to a tree. He grabbed his robes up round his knees and he climbed the tree, standing on one of the branches until he was above the people down below. Some saw him and pointed at him. Hey, Mr. Zach, you're too short, eh? How ridiculous. A grown man up a tree. We hope you fall out. But soon they got distracted as they heard the crowd down the road a bit starting to cheer and clap. Jesus was coming. The cheers got louder and louder and louder. Everyone around Mr. Zach was calling out, Jesus, come to my house for tea before you leave town. Mr. Zach stared at Jesus, and it took him a little while to realize that Jesus had stopped just under the tree that he had climbed. Jesus looked up and said, come down from that tree. I must eat with you today. Mr. Zach was amazed. Me? He asked. You want to come to eat with me? The crowd went silent. Yes, said Jesus, come down. Well, the crowd went mad. You can't go to his house. He's bad. He's a cheat. He's not respectable, they grumbled. But it did no good. Mr. Zach led Jesus to his house and went inside. The crowd gathered round, looking in the windows and doors to see what would happen. If you read this story for yourself in the Bible, in Luke chapter 19, you'll see that we're not told what Jesus actually said. But from what happened next, we can tell. Meeting Jesus was the best thing that ever happened to Mr. Zach. He knew he had sinned, that cheating people and being mean to people was wrong. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Seeing Jesus and how holy he was made Mr. Zach feel bad about his sin, that because he had sinned, he deserved to be punished by God, and he couldn't go and live with God when he died. Romans 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. He told Jesus that he was sorry and sad about all his sin. But instead of punishing Mr. Zach, Jesus told them that he had come to earth to tell him that God loved him. And even though he deserved to be punished, God loved him so much that he had a rescue plan. And that rescue plan was Jesus. Jesus would take the punishment for all Mr. Zach's sins. Every time Mr. Zach had cheated someone, Jesus would take the punishment. For every time Mr. Zach had been mean to people, Jesus would take the punishment. In fact, for everything Mr. Zach had ever said or ever done or ever thought that was wrong, or even those things that Mr. Zach should have done and hadn't, Jesus would take the punishment. Isaiah 53 verse 6 explains this for us. And because Jesus was going to be punished, God's plan means that anyone who believes in Jesus won't be punished. In fact, they would be given the gift of eternal life by God. Romans 6, 23 goes on to say that even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. Mr. Zach was amazed. He could be forgiven by God, even though he had sinned and sinned and sinned. But why would Jesus do such a thing? He had never sinned, yet he was willing to be punished by God in Mr. Zach's place. Mr. Zach could see that Jesus must really love him to make this huge sacrifice. The only thing he could do when faced with such love was to say, "Thank you, Jesus. I believe in you. I know you love me so much, and I'm so sorry for all my sin. Please forgive me and give me eternal life." Jesus smiled at Mr. Zach, and Mr. Zach was filled with such peace and happiness in his heart that he was bursting with joy, and he ran outside to the crowd of people. "Listen up, everyone," said Mr. Zach. "I will no longer cheat anyone, and I'm going to give half of everything I own to the poor. And I've cheated you in the past. I'll pay you back 4 times the amount." The crowd could hardly believe it. This was a very different Mr. Zach to the one who went into the house with Jesus. He was completely changed. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." And the story finishes with the words of Luke chapter 19, verse 10, where Jesus says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's still the same today. Are you lost? Lost in your sin, knowing that you do and think and say things that are wrong? You might think there is no hope, that God could never forgive you, that you deserve to die. But remember this story, and know that because God loves you, he sent Jesus to be punished in your place. And if you believe in him, instead of the wages of death that you deserve, you will be given the gift of eternal life. Like so many other stories in the Bible, this one proves that what John 3 verse 16 says is true. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life."